Why don't you tell us how you got your start in the music industry?
Yeah, I'm actually, I went to art school back, because I'm original from Angola. So what happened was, I was in the art school. When I finished, when I graduated, we thought about where my family thought about sending me to the States. So I went to Las Vegas. I got a chance to live in Las Vegas for a couple of years. That's when I really fell in love with the music, and I started really doing music. Not as a professional, but I was, just to have a little fun with a couple of peers outside after school and all that. But it was really, really fun. But by the time I moved to Europe, that's when I really started getting into it and take more seriously, and trying to make a living out of the music.
Now, were you raised in Las Vegas? Because, the cool thing about Vegas is you go there and it's like another planet.
Yeah, it's total crazy. Vegas, we did not have any other choices coming from Africa. So they actually put us out there, so we had to live there. So, but Vegas back in the days used to be really nice. I wouldn't say real. I mean, not a lot of people. People just come for visit and go back. But now you got a lot of people live in Vegas and so on. So it's a total different story now. It's a nice city, huge. You got a lot of people coming from California. So it's a nice place to be. It's cool. Oh, like 15 years ago. Yeah, 15 years ago. Actually, I was in Germany first, and from Germany, I came from Switzerland. So, I mean, it is a really nice place to be. So I thought about, like, okay, let me settle down. Got a chance to find my wife. We got kids and everything. I say, no, I got to stop running around and let me just settle. So I thought about Switzerland is the nice place to be. So it's cool. But I'm always back and forth in the States. Do a lot of music, do a lot of stuff for a lot of American rappers and artists. Mm-hmm. Oh, the music scene. I mean, it is complicated. It is complicated because Switzerland doesn't really have a music scene. We actually consume music from all over the world. So you got German next, you got France, Italy, and the UK. So you actually receive all those. We actually import all those music. But locally, people don't really deal with music. They're more concentrated, focused, dealing with some financial banks and so on that are really doing music. So what we have to do here is really to export our music to the world in order really to make it. That's exactly what happened here. But still, a nice place, people here got money. We can easily, sell a couple of music. It's just a test and see how people feel about your music and your art, what you're doing. So that's exactly what we do here in Swiss Mark before we even go to outside and trying to test the UK or the US. We just do a little local thing.
Now, I notice you do a lot of work in the UK. Is the UK like the bridge between Europe and the US?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's one of the reasons why we're doing a lot of stuff in UK, because UK is just one of the best market in Europe. So if you close to the UK, you're close to the US. So history tells us that that is a good relationship between UK and US. And we tend to go to the UK before we go to the US. That's exactly that's the reason why we do a lot of stuff in UK.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about your new single, Jamaican Grind. It's got, I mean, it's got a nice beat. I mean, it's got a really cool beat and hook to it, and the video looks like it tells a story. So what's the background?
Yeah, actually, Jamaican Grind, a lot of people think it's really related to Jamaica, but nah, Jamaican Grind is really a single mother who's struggle to make a living, and she's out there trying to get a job. She can find a job, and you know, the system put her in a situation that she got to go out there and do some night job, just like a, you know, just like a stripper or a hooker. This is more a way of giving a shout out to all the female single mothers and that are really going through a struggle. That's one of the reasons why we put the video. But at the same time, I don't really want to show too much sex scenes and none of that. I don't really want to be the same type of image the hip hop always shows on the TV. That's one of the reasons why we're trying to be as light as possible and let people know that it's feasible to really do some nice work without necessarily showing ads on video.
Yeah, and I think like when it comes to filmmaking, that, you know, when you do it the way you're describing it, it becomes more provocative.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, I mean, like, if you notice, like, I mean, like, I don't know, like, as I get older now, I'm not into the sex scenes if they're not going to help the story out. Sometimes when it just shows them waking up together, you know, I mean, that says a lot more than just showing.
Yeah, that's exactly. But not only that, because, you know, in hip-hop, we got used to so many sexy scenes that is just normal. Just got in a situation that is normal. So we're not trying to do just like everybody else is doing. We're trying to be as original as possible. In the same time, you know, just being myself. If you actually go through the history on the internet of my videos, you're really never going to see a female shaking their asses and doing all kind of crazy stuff. That's not the image that I want to perpetrate. It doesn't really matter how successful my music is or not, but I just want to be true to myself. That's exactly what that's how I feel, and that's how I want to represent myself.
Now, what kind of reactions have you got from women taking that stance?
I mean, right now, the feedback, since we started promotion right now, is quite soon to have that major feedback. But the few feedbacks that we received was really positive. Most of the women are like, oh, cool, it's nice to see a video that is not a lot of sex content and is more light, it's more about telling the story. But of course, if you heard the song is really more about a sex story. That is, you know, I like when you work that booty naked, you know. So it's a total different story. So people thought we will do some crazy strip with a bunch of females, you know, bouncing it and stuff like that, but I apologize if disappoint some people.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and that actually brings me to my next question. Do you think now? I mean, it's kind of obvious in the past that certain hip hop groups were, you know, a little, you know, prejudiced against women, I guess you could say, you know, or do you think nowadays, because I mean, hip-hop's so diverse now, I mean, it's as embedded as rock music was 20 years ago, you know, because it's now in its fourth decade. I mean, do you think that it's more geared towards women now, or do you think that there's still aspects of sexism?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. To be honest, it's not a relate to rappers, but it's really relate to society itself. You know, because we live in a society that is that we see a lot of sex content. You see all the commercials. You see sex content. I mean, all over. But hip hop, it wouldn't be any different for anything that is related to society. But at the same time, due to the history. Of most of the history of the music itself, born from the ghetto, and the lifestyle of the ghetto, that's what made hip hop turning from the graffitis and the breakdance and the really nice art work that back in the days to today hip hop, which is really commercial. But most of the rappers, we really do songs that it is related to what the market is asking for. Because I remember back in the days, I used to do songs talk about good stuff, talk about society, how we portray women, special black women, or how we interact with each other. But I never really got any feedbacks concerning all those songs. But when I did a Jamaican grind with it, I like it when you work that booty naked, then you got a whole world. We're like, wow, I like that. You know.
Yep. And it's good that you point that out too, because it is not just hip hop. I mean, when you said that it wasn't just hip hop, I remembered all of a sudden all these rock songs that I've heard that are all about partying, getting drunk, and being, you know, and how many girls he slept with and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. So we got the same exact example with rock music. People don't want to see the rock star talk about the problems of life, what the regular people is going through. They want to see the rock star living the rock life. You know what I mean? breaking all the guitars and sleeping with so many different women, alcohol all over the place, liquors, pop bottles, and that's exactly what they want to see. So the artists, we are a reflection of society. If society asks us to perpetrate and act that way, we intend to do so. But of course, this is not something that is the majority, because a whole lot of rappers out there, a whole lot of artists, recording artists, doing really, really well, doing right music, doing good stuff, not really following anybody else. And that's what I want to be. I want to be in a situation that due to the fact that I come from a different culture, going from Africa to US, US to Europe, so I got a chance to really to learn and see different people, different mentality, different sounds, different melody. That's one of the reasons why when you listen to my music, it's a little mix of all. You got the reggae on the one side, you got the hip hop, it's a little mix. Plus, I like the vocals, because my father's a preacher, and I used to be singing in the church. So basically, that's one of the reasons why you see also that major vocal behind my Jamaican grind and all the songs that I do.
Now, how did your I think I'm getting feedback here, man. I'm hearing myself. No, what I was going to ask was about your upbringing in Angola. Is that where you know, the reggae scene originated from? Because I know Bob Marley had really strong ties to Angola, and he actually wrote the song War when he was in Angola.
Yeah, I mean, not only the reggae scenes, but most of black culture itself. Because if we go back to the history, that was one of the first places where Europeans got in Africa. So when the Portuguese really took over and started sending slaves to New World, which is America right now, most of those slaves came from Angola, just like Brazil, just like. So if you see really the culture of Jamaica, all the Caribbean, even U.S. culture, it is really related to Angola. Let's say Kwanzaa, which U.S. Black Americans use as a culturally relate, is the currency of Angola. So this is really to show you that a lot of culture, black culture, perpetrated around the world is really came. Plus, Angola is a powerhouse when it comes to music. They really doing well. They really have nice artists, and this is a culture that is really related to music.
It really is. It really is considered the cultural seat of Africa too.
Yeah,
you know. Is. Well, and here's another thing. You know, the slave trade that brought slaves to America from Angola. Those slaves were the ones who created blues and jazz.
Exactly.
You know, mm-hmm. which if you think about it, blues in particular and a little bit of jazz created rock.
And if you see rock created so many different relate to hip hop, you know, whatever it is, blues and rhythm, the R&B, this is all related, to be honest, all related. It just reminded me that I'm doing a song right now, but it's coming up next year, which is going to be a mix of Wes Mike is a blue player. He's a guitar player. He sings blue, and I'm trying to do a mix of blues with hip-hop and a little dance for European market. And this is something that is definitely going to be nice. It's definitely going to be nice. You guys are going to get a chance to listen to.
Nice, nice. Now, what do you have planned for when Jamaican Grind gets released on October 20th? Are you gonna set up some dates and everything? And
yeah. We set it up a couple of dates, especially here in Europe and all around Europe. Especially in the UK, that's exactly what we're doing right now. And hopefully, if everything goes well, you might see me. In India, I'm coming to you.
Nice, man. Well, yeah, we'll have a beer, man. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be dope. I would. Yeah. We'll see. Let's just work and keep pushing. I thank you for the support. And everything you're showing to the project, this is something that it means a lot. So we're just working and pushing.
Yeah. You got a lot of other sticks in the fire too. I mean, let's talk about your clothing line and your jewelry.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, we started the clothing line and not a while ago, but the jewelry I started a couple of years ago because I used to work for a company, Italian jewelry company, Bulgari, luxury company, and I was a salesman and I saw the way they actually put together. I learned a lot with the company, and I decided really to do my own jewelry and the clothing line. So this is something, just another way of getting some revenues to help the whole project.
Now, how do you design jewelry? Because I mean, I made a ring in like high school for a shop, and it sucked. It looked like crap, man. So how do you design something that looks beautiful?
I usually don't design myself. I got designers who actually work with me, and they do it. But I, when I got time, what I do is more, most of the designs I really use on my clothing line company. So that's what I actually use my design. But the jewelry, I'll let them take care, because it's a little more complicated.
Yeah, I can imagine, man.
You really got to be into it. You got to be specialized.
you have to be born to do it, I think, because some of the jewelry I've seen is just beyond exquisite.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is. It's just amazing. When you see how they do it, it's just amazing. It's a long process, and it's a lot of work. But it's nice. We keep on pushing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about some things I've seen on YouTube. I've seen you, performing with street performers and stuff, man. How does that stuff start?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is... Yeah, we started those type of performance at the beginning of this year. We were in UK for a promotion, so I thought about, I was like, okay, why don't we just stop somewhere and start performing with different artists, but artists that we don't know, just street artists. So we actually got in different city and stop while we seeing somebody in the street. We stop, and I started just doing a freestyle and doing a little improvise. And my manager just took the camera and started filming. So this is something that just happened like that. It just came out of mind, and I was like, okay, let's do it. And we just got away and started singing. And the guy was just amazing, because we really never got a chance to talk before. I just took him and started doing. And he's just amazing, Warren. He just understood what I want, and we started doing. We did a song, and now what we do when I travel around, I just go from different cities in the UK, all around the world. And when I got a chance, if I see somebody in the street trying to do something improvised, just to show the other side of the art, not only be in the studio. You need to improvise and show people how we do it.
Oh yeah. I mean, and the cool thing is, I mean, with YouTube, I mean, one thing I've noticed is there's some street performers out there that deserve like a major label or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean. Oh, exactly. Like I keep thinking of this. Who's this guy? I think he's in Peru. He's in South America somewhere. But I'm sure you've seen him, because he's getting like, 20 million views a video, but he's this guitarist who can just play faster than anything.
Oh, okay.
You know, he's in.
I gotta check him out.
Yeah, I mean, he'll do like note for note, perfect renditions of like Queen and Yngwie Malmsteen and Vivaldi, and he just picks all these eclectic songs.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So. Yeah, and he's probably, I mean, in my opinion, he's one of the best guitarists I've ever seen on YouTube. You know what the funny thing is? He actually, his videos got so many views that he got a guitar endorsement from Schecter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they actually started building him guitars.
That's nice. That's the good part of YouTube, because there's a lot of people out there with the whole lot of talent, but really doesn't have a chance to be in the mainstream, because it takes a whole, there's a lot of politics, there's a lot of money behind, and the people doesn't really have all that, plus the record companies, they're not willing really to take they're not going to take a risk on anybody, so they really want to see you doing by yourself before they even put their money. So that's exactly what it is. Unfortunately, there is a lot of talents out there that we're losing, and the music industry is losing a lot with that. I know a whole lot of artists good artists, good people. They really, really got a whole lot of talent, but now they quit doing music because that is no income. It's just too complicated. It's just a headache, and this, unfortunately, this is really a bad situation for music, for culture in general.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you're right when websites like YouTube and SoundCloud, that they can at least get it out there.
Yeah, that's exactly. We need it is important to have that because most of all, it's just full of talent people. YouTube is just amazing, full of talent people.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody remembers this anymore, but Justin Bieber started out on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, if you remember, he was just a kid that would sing songs on YouTube, and then, and then he got discovered.
Yeah, that's the way it is. But unfortunately, out of one Justin Bieber, you got a million out there waiting for the next chance to really do it. And this is just, but of course, not everybody going to make it. This is just part of the game, and I totally understand. But it's important for the industry to really to do something about music in order for, independent artists, independent record labels to earn more income. In order to survive, because it's almost impossible, it's almost impossible. And plus, it's related to politics. It's related to politics because downloads is not enough at all. It's just amazing. And plus, everything's so expensive. It's unfortunately that we actually losing a whole lot of artists because of the situation right now.
Yeah. Now, do you think that's part of the reason why more and more artists are releasing EPs and not full length albums, or releasing songs one single at a time?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's actually, this is the whole reason, because releasing an album costs a whole lot of money, especially if you don't have the promotion budget to really push the album the way it's supposed to. So most of us, all we do, we release a single, and then we release an EP, see how the single does. If the single does well, we release an EP. If the EP does well, then we release an album. That's the way it is. Back in the days, we would easily release an album straight up, with a couple of good singles, and you will do fine. But nowadays, it's almost impossible because everything costs money. And the artists, especially independent artists, doesn't really have the budget to bring the song. And plus, everything goes so fast nowadays. It's just amazing. The song come out today, a couple of weeks later, it's already old.
Oh, yeah. I know bands that are doing that with whole albums. Like, I talk to bands all the time, like, well, your album comes out next month. What do you got going on? Well, we're going to release another one in 2 months. I'm like, what?
You don't even got time to do a tour. You don't even got time to do anything. You got to release a new one. We're in a pretty bad situation right now. It's just amazing. Hopefully, we can turn around and do something right. And plus, something is missing. We're missing a hardware because we used to have the CD used to be good until we found something else to replace it. It's almost impossible because music itself is a promotion tool. It goes with something. Got to go with something. If you don't have that something, because download for 99 cents and 50% go to the publisher, it's not really going to help us anywhere. Because you need a million, over a billion downloads really to start making money. But the same way, we can always do shows, but shows gets complicated when you not know, and when people don't know you, no promoters really want to book you. So this gets really complicated for a whole lot of artists, but we'll remain hopefully that things will get better for the future.
And well, and also with shows, I don't know how it is in Europe with this, but here in America, this sucks too. We have this thing called pay to play, where new artists actually pay to be on the opening slot of another band.
Yeah. We actually have, but not so much in Europe. In UK, we got a couple of those, but around Europe, not so much, because Europe doesn't really. It's not so many, because actually you got so many different countries and you have so many different opportunities really to get out there with the promoters and all different people related to the music industry that could help you really get shows, get live shows, and do a whole lot of stuff. So we're not really in that type of situation right now in Europe. I know the U.S. is pretty much in that type of situation, but not in Europe.
It's like that, you know. Like it's not like that everywhere here, but it's kind of getting to the point where it's like it's almost costing more money, you know, to be an independent artist now.
Yeah, that's exactly. So we're gonna get into the point that artists really will stop. Nobody will do music anymore. You will have the major artists and nobody else.
Yeah. Well, you know what I always thought sucks about pay to play is they'll put the art. Okay, the artist pays a couple hundred bucks, you know, to be on the bill. They're the first act on because they're the least known, because anybody more known than them would not pay to be on the bill, you know. And then when they get on stage, that's when the horror sets in, because they realize that there are still people coming into the venue, so they're not even getting everybody.
That's exactly. So they getting ripped twice.
Yeah. You know? And those people don't care, because they're there to see the main act and they're getting their drinks and all that other stuff.
That's exactly what it is. And this is a sad story. We really need to figure out ways to put the music business in the right track. And this is really related to politics. We need to be politicians need to be a little more harder. We need to organize better the music business, because the music business is run by crooks and thugs.
And guys who think they're in the mafia.
Oh gosh, this is the worst business you can possibly be. I mean, if I could. But we all love music. That's the point. To be honest, we all love music, and we do music for love, because otherwise you wouldn't do all the sacrifices. It's just too much. It's just too painful. It's just too much. Yeah. Too much.
That's why I always tell people, like, when you see people like Justin Bieber, you know they love music because they went through all the bullshit.
Yeah. I don't know artists in the music business who actually didn't went through a whole lot of mess. It's just amazing how people still believing, still working hard, and still pushing. And that's one of the things that, and right now we consume new music than ever in the history of music.
Yeah,
music is everywhere.
Yeah, there's so much out there now. I mean,
so much out there.
You know?
And the internet as a tool just became that huge giant who's actually putting everybody inside. And it is hard. It is hard. But we need to organize even better. There's a lot of people in the music business who's not doing right, especially publishers and all those people that really just taking money away for artists who actually doesn't have any money, to be honest. It's just amazing. That's one of the reasons why sometimes I do a little show on YouTube as well, talk about trying to tell the new upcoming artists how to act, make sure that they talking to the right people. And the music business, just like any other business, that's something that people don't realize. You know, they really looking for overnight star, and that's something that doesn't happen. It might happen with one person, but it won't happen with everyone. And we're still selling dreams to young kids, thinking that one day they will be a star. Yeah, one or two, one day will be a star, just like playing the lottery.
How many winners of The Voice and The X Factor and American Idol do you remember? I mean, that goes right into what you're saying.
That's exactly what it is. This is more business, for who's producing those shows, who are actually going to make as much money as possible. But actually, the people itself, the artists, or whoever he's around, I mean, they're not really getting anything. This is just a little instant of fame. That in the end, if you don't have a solid career, you don't really go anywhere. Because you might sell a million records, go double platinum. But when you stop selling a million records, they just put you out and leave you out there without nothing. You know, the best way is really to keep creating, keep working, and keep organizing yourself in order to make your fan base grow. And as long as your fan base is growing, you're good to go, because you can do so many different businesses. You can sell merchandising. You can do so many. There is so many ways you can possibly do it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, so thank God for places like YouTube, because here's the thing. Like, one thing I've noticed over the last 5 years, YouTube is now MTV. I mean, if you notice, MTV hasn't played a video in probably what, 10 years? They have an award show for videos that they don't play.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly what it is. I mean, YouTube right now is way more than MTV. It's just huge. It's amazing. Most of the people, when they really want to listen to music, they don't go anywhere. Just go to YouTube, and you got everything inside. So it's amazing. It's amazing what they have done, and it's really amazing what YouTube became. But it's just, unfortunately, that YouTube doesn't share as much the revenue for the artists who are struggling in order to survive. I mean, it's a good tool, but they're not doing enough, especially because they just earn too much money and not really giving back to those who create the music, who make YouTube what it is today.
Yeah, exactly. And YouTube is actually Google. So, I mean, not a lot of people know that, but YouTube is Google.
It's Google.
Yeah. So, and the revenue is actually run through, like, through their AdSense program, which is going to be, I mean, oh, man. I mean, I think I read it one time. It was horrible. It's like, you don't even get the money for the first 100 or something clicks.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. You gotta have at least 10,000 clicks before you start seeing it. And the money is just garbage. You can't really do anything with it, you know. But it's a good tool to exposure. It's a good tool to for a lot of us who doesn't really have the national news. Who can't make the national news and have the mainstream behind us. That's a good tool to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and it's not just MTV. I mean, if you notice, you can get anything on YouTube, yeah. At least for a while. Some stuff they'll take down, but I mean,
yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. This is something that I thought I'll admire the creative of this platform. You know, this is what I look for. This is what I look, to be honest, that's what I see. I don't see the small thing. I don't see what's in front. I like to see what's behind. And that's what makes it different. When you see what's behind, exactly, that's when you see who's the people who are actually making the real money. Who's the people who are actually being, you know, the big thing for the industry. And that's what I like to see. I don't like to see Kanye West. I like to see who's behind Kanye West. That's how I see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, where can we find Bassman 75 online?
Oh yeah, you can find me anywhere. You can check me on Twitter. My Twitter is Bassman754, or you can check me on Facebook. My Facebook is Bassman Grime Music. Instagram, my Instagram is Bassman75 Music. Almost everywhere. My official website is www.bassman75.com. We got a whole lot of stuff going on. We got the clothing line. We got the jewelry. We have the music. So it is it's part of the team. Bassman 75 is a team. I got a whole team who working with me, and we just pushing and hoping that people like our music and see ways we could possibly bring our music to a larger and big audience.
And you're also on YouTube and Vevo as well.
I'm also on Vevo. You can find it as Bassman75 Vevo. All over the internet.
You're all over the place, man.
Yeah, so that's where we at right now. We got to be everywhere. That's the way we're going to eat today.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's the only way you can do it, man. You got to go all in.
Yeah. So that's win-win situation. So
Well,
I think you guys take the time really to do that interview and get a chance to know me and my music, my work. Hey, keep on playing that Jamaican Grime. I love what you done, man. It's really cool to put me on the front page